I did want to start with a little recap of this ordinance that would have required property owners to clean up graffiti. It's now off the table, but where did all this start from?
Well, we've been dealing with this, for years, and especially since I've been in office. We've tried to work with a volunteer crew, and it's working out great if these business owners or property owners allow us meaning the volunteers and the city, to come on their property and either remove it or paint over it. Well, the problem is there is a handful of people out there, probably more than a handful, but it's a smaller percentage of the problem that they just don't care. They don't want us on their property. They don't care if somebody vandalizes it, and they don't care. And a lot of times this is in prime spots where people can see it, and they keep adding the graffiti, and it continues to look worse. And so we wanted us to do a small thing that we thought that would allow us to give a little bit of teeth into pushing them along to cooperating. We'll still come and do it at no cost to them, but if you just totally, ignore us, we wanted to have a little bit of something to say, if you don't clean this up, there'll be a penalty. And it's really no different, in my opinion, than people that own empty lots all over town and there's illegal dumping occurs. We still have to cite the person that owns the property. We don't know who dumped that stuff there. And so the argument has been it's not fair to penalize somebody who, got vandalized. I get that, but all we're asking is to work with us to help get it cleaned up.
But the ordinance did not pass because of enforcement.
Well, I think there's a couple things, they tabled it, so basically it's just on an indefinite hold. I think what we really want to do is let's see how Indianapolis one works out since they just passed theirs. Some of our councilmen were a little reluctant because they heard from some business owners who said, "I don't care if there's graffiti on my building, don't give me a ticket." So I think there was a couple things. They'd like a little bit more explanation on how we're going to do things, how we're going to deal with a specialty wall, like a nice brick wall. Obviously we wouldn't paint over that, but we have equipment to remove it from that. And I think there was a little bit of a disconnect, and they just felt like they weren't ready to pass it.
Was there any type of look into the source of the problem of graffiti? I mean, some people would say that maybe, graffiti is an art. Is there something being done in terms of where these people can go and do it where it's legal?
Well, we've heard, from some that it is art, but most of what we see is not. It's just tagging. They're putting the tip, you can tell it's not art. And we don't have nearly the problem we did when I first took office. I mean, it is so much better than it was. And some of the stuff we're talking about is, 6, 7 years old. So I don't think it's a growing problem. It's just there's always somebody out there doing some tagging. And our goal is to clean it as quick as we can. And so most of these people don't do it again. So they're not these artists. And, I think we're open to if somebody would want to come and make a proposal to us or an idea that might help with that to give them a place to do it, we would consider that. But it's not been that kind of communication. It's just been people going out and doing random acts of graffiti.
I see. I believe at the end of this month, there's a conference or a look at the Terre Haute Cultural Arts District that the Indiana Arts Commission recently awarded, I believe, a grant to look into that. Can we maybe start with exploring a little bit about the development of a downtown cultural arts district, what that means, and what that next step is going to be this month?
Sure. We've wanted to do this for quite some time, but the rules and regulations are very stringent. You have to have done a lot of things to prepare yourself for this type of cultural district. And so finally, we're in a position, we believe, of all the things that we've done that will allow us to apply for that status. And so the first step, which was a great step, was to get the state to recognize that, yes, we have done that, and they would give us a grant to pay for the next phase of doing the planning process so we can present the application to the state. I feel really good about where we're at, and it's been a long haul. It's taken a lot of people, a lot of groups. You just have to get to a certain point, and we didn't qualify before. So at least now the state has recognized that we're getting to that point. I really believe that we're in good position to get this designation, and so we're working through the red tape, if you will, to do it right.
What do you hope will come from this?
That's the question, I
The
guess, at
goal.
the end of the day,
Yeah.
that, if you look at communities, everything that you can put down on a piece of paper or, basically when you're trying to sell the community, anything you can do to make yourself stand out from your competitors, and our competitors are not only cities in Indiana, but the entire Midwest. We really believe that our arts and entertainment, the cultural things that we do here, has grown tremendously over the last 10 years, let's say, to where we have some showcase kind of things going on here. And we'd like to get that designation to take us to that next level, to get the publicity that comes with that. We would like to reward those that have done things, whether the city's been involved, a lot of private groups have been involved. We'd like to share that with the world, if you will, by having this designated cultural district that we can then talk about, sell, you know, put it on our website, put it out there in front of everybody to show that we do have something that's different than another community, or the fact that we continue to grow this out, and this isn't just, you know, a piece of paper saying, hey, we got this. It's all about the growth and the continued development of the arts in our community.
Speaking of cultural opportunities, summer is here almost. It's starting to feel like it.
It's trying.
Everyone trying to go outside. What are some of the new things that people should look out for in Terre Haute?
Well, we're trying to get people to use some of the things we've already put in place. And I'll give you an example. I did a bike ride this last Saturday, and we went on quite a bit of the trails in the city. And some of those riders obviously were familiar with those, and a few other riders were not. I had one high school age student come up and say, I didn't have any idea we had this particular trail over here. I just didn't know it. We're trying to really encourage people to come out and use our facilities. So whether it's our city parks, our trail system, visiting some of these venues downtown where the arts really is flourishing. That's been our biggest goal, is to try to get people here locally to go out and appreciate and use these amenities we've put in place. We're still working on some trail components that we're trying to do, but our goal right now is to really sell what we have and maintain and improve some things. And so we're kind of going through that strategy of let's show people what we've got before we go into the next growth phase. You're going to see, you know, we have a lot of festivals each year, and it kind of, the summer always kicks off the festivals. The Fairbanks Park Festival that'll be coming up here on the banks of the Wabash at the end of the month is always kind of the kickoff of all the festivals, and we're looking forward to that one. We had the Herb Fair last Saturday, which was a tremendous draw down at Fairbanks Park, where people brought a lot of their homegrown kinds of things to the park, and just a tremendous amount of visitors to buy a lot of things that they've gone back in and planted in their yards. And so both of those are things that the city sponsors, but you know, you're going to see a lot of the private groups begin to have their events now as the summer rolls out.
You were speaking of the trails earlier and plans for expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still ongoing?
Yeah, the river, the 1.7 mile trail from Fairbanks Park down to I-70 has been something that we've been planning for about a year and a half. Ran into a little bit of an obstacle with the EPA on a piece of property we acquired, and they're going to be here in about a month to clean up that. So then that will allow us to finish the cleanup on the things that are not hazardous and open up and open up that area to be able to build that trail. Our goal is to have the trail done by this fall and open to the public. We wanted to have it done last year, but you know, as I said, we ran into this cleanup issue. But that just means there's another 50-acre property that's clean along the river, and we'll be opening up the trail for public access. So we're really excited about that. That's our biggest trail component we're doing this year.
What does that get you in terms of, you said 50 acres, is that going to connect another part of the trail?
Or? Yeah, well, we had purchased the former IP property down right at I-70, several hundred acres down there, and then we acquired this 50 acres that's just north of that, and then we've got an easement on the two private properties north of that. So we've got public easement all the way along the river, basically from US 40 all the way down to I-70. There'll be a trail that'll run right along the riverfront.
Is that the same area where the Terre Haute Rex play?
Well, they're on the north end then. Yeah, they're up here on the north side. We're talking basically from City Hall South. Then on the north side, where ISU is expanding to the river, they're building a new track up here. And then the baseball stadium sits up at First and Locust, which is a few blocks north of here. And that's where the Terre Haute Rex play in the ISU baseball stadium.
And the Rex, I believe they have new owners this year.
Yes.
But everything is still on go, and we have baseball coming up in the end of the month.
Yeah, absolutely. The season gets started here at the end of May. They start on the road, but the first home game will be that first week of June. The new owners are very excited. They're investing in the team, kind of trying to take it to that next level. And I would expect another exciting year of Rex baseball in Terre Haute.
We just see where Kokomo announced a new stadium a couple days ago. What's the hardest part of keeping a baseball team in a city?
Well, it's mainly getting people to come out to the games. You know, you gotta have revenue and you gotta have income to pay for this. And they've been doing pretty well. I mean, we're new to the league, just a few years into it, and we have one of the highest attendance figures of any of the teams in the league. So we do well that way, but you got to kind of ramp it up to that next, getting that regular each game attendance up a little bit more to help them reinvest back into the team and all the things that go along with it. And they're trying to make it an experience, which that's what you have to do these days. You can't just come and sit and watch a baseball game. You got to have entertainment, all the side things going on. And they've done a tremendous job. And with their new general manager, who's our former recreation director from the Parks Department, who did wonders with our park system, he's going to do those same things up there. And I'm excited about that. The owners are ready to go. And I think this is going to be an instrumental year for them.